Internet. Welcome to the ROI of Why, your number one podcast about all things purpose and impact as it relates to business. This is Andrew, and I'm joined by Angie, as always.
Hello, hello.
How are you? You didn't draw out your first word, though.
Like I know. I thought about it, but then I didn't.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you gotta make it weird.
I did my best.
You did well. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Cool. So, 'tis the season.
Of things.
Of all the things.
Happy all the holidays to people.
Oh, thanks.
Because there's so many now, and I'm afraid that even if I attempt to list them, that I'm still going to leave someone out. And I don't like to do that. So I just say all the holidays.
Mm-hmm. It's like PC as hell. I appreciate that. What are you guys doing for Christmas this year?
Yes. My family celebrates Christmas. And so I have a ton of family in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So we, every other year, either do Thanksgiving in Ohio or Christmas. So this year, we will go back and see like all my aunts and uncles and my grandparents mm-hmm. and cousins and my cousins' kids. And I have a very large extended family that I just grew up knowing very closely and intimately. So I'm very excited. It's 12 hours in the car with my three littles, which my older two do well, mm-hmm. my 18-month-old. We went to Fargo a few weeks ago to visit my sister. The way home did not go so well.
Sure.
So I'm a little terrified.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is also my secret note is I drive the whole time
mm-hmm.
because then I don't have to like do the kid back over the
yeah.
seat thing.
I can't
police right
now. My
husband has to do that.
I gotta keep us alive.
I just have to drive. Yep. And so it keeps my sanity. I think my husband is always like, I'll drive. And I'm like, nope, we're in my car. I'll
Got
drive.
It. Nope.
So, but yeah, I'm excited. It's always nice. Fun. We stay with my cousin and their family. And yeah, it's Rad. Just crazy loud. My poor husband who, he's amazing and my family loves him, but he gets a threat. You know, I even hit my threshold of like sure. human interaction.
Sure.
And by the end of it, like the car ride is silent because I'm like, don't even talk to me. I can't even handle it.
Yes.
And I'm a social butterfly.
It's quiet time
so,
right now.
What about you? What's the fam doing?
Okay. So this is our first year doing Christmas in the new house. And we had said when we bought the house in February that like, okay, we are going to like start doing our own traditions and stuff, right? And so we, as a family, all of us love spooky things, right?
Mm,
Halloween
yes.
is the number one holiday in our house. We just, that's just the way we operate,
yeah.
right? And so this year, we have decided we're going to create a new Christmas tradition, which is the following. We are going to bolt on a piece of Halloween to Christmas. And it's multifaceted.
Oh,
yeah. I see your face, but hold on, stick with me. It's gonna be
I'm
cool.
Following.
Okay. So what we're gonna do is we are going to the part. We're still gonna do Christmas, normal mm-hmm. Christmas, right? We have the meal, we have the family time, and we're gonna do the games, and we're going to do the presents and all the things. The Halloween component is we are going to also dress up like the Addams Family.
Oh my gosh!
And our tree is a spooky tree this year. So what I've done is took a tree. Because we use the artificial tree,
uh-huh.
and painted it black, and then got the like snow stuff that goes
uh-huh.
on it. So we have a black snowy tree, and then we have like all black, and then like some silver and red ornaments, and then had these ornaments. I'm doing finger quotes made that say, you know, Merry Christmas,
uh-huh.
but they are all in Ouija board letter fonts.
Oh,
and so
very
it's,
custom.
Yeah,
I
it's
like
gonna be
it.
Fun. So we just try to. Keep it weird.
So are you a Nightmare Before Christmas family watchers?
Yes.
Okay. I experienced
year round.
I watched that for the first time a few months ago.
The first time?
First time. I know. I just never got into it. I know. And then I was at my kindergartner's.
I have so many questions.
I know. My poor kindergartner, her first actual friend birthday party she got invited to. They put that on and did an outdoor projection movie thing on the garage door. And
cool.
so because she wouldn't let me leave because it was her first party and it was uh-huh. at night, I got to watch The Nightmare Before Christmas. And
well,
it was
thank
great.
God you attended that birthday party, Coobs.
I know. Thank God for
have
the 5-year-old.
Have you guys done Coraline yet?
My oldest has seen Coraline. I have not watched it yet.
Okay. Let me rephrase my questions moving forward for this the rest of this segment. that should have been, have you seen Coraline yet? We know the
no.
answer is no. Have you seen Corpse Bride?
No.
Have you seen Frankenweenie?
No.
Have you seen Number 9?
I don't even know what that one is.
Jeez, okay.
Dustin's over here like cringing in effect just, like, with for Drew shame. Right now. I know. Apparently,
I'm not
I know.
Nodding along. I like all of these.
Yeah, they're all amazing films.
I feel like I know what I'm doing during my kids' school break with them is we're going to need to download. Well, now that those are all Disney, right? Most of them?
Most of them, yeah.
So now that we have our Disney Plus, we'll just stream them in.
I'm going to build you a list. Okay.
I appreciate the homework.
Think of it like the spooky mixtape of visual media.
I love it. So, you know, they always say have conversations with people who have different perspectives. And I think you and I do that so well for each other. But
I think so as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. But that sounds like a super fun. I love when people adapt their own holiday traditions to things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome about you.
We like traditions. Dustin, what are you doing, Dustin?
Pull you in on this one. What are you doing?
I just put a piece of candy in my mouth.
You are not allowed to cut this from the show, though, now, just because we put you on this spot and he's always cringing at us. But Dustin's, we mention him often, but he's our amazing producer that keeps everything going for us through the year. So
yes, I've just been doing some recording with my band recently and finishing up on that. We did some keyboards last night.
It's fun.
Sounding really good. We just got to do some vocals. The two people in my band who do the vocals are very lazy about actually writing lyrics and
figuring out
their vocal patterns. Like when we play a practice that we do without vocals a lot because it's a lot of screaming. And that can be taxing on your voice. So they save it, you know. And
are they parents yet? They'll get there. And then they'll get more used. No, I'm kidding.
They get used to it.
Get used to the screaming.
We got a bunch of dogs in our band.
Yeah. So that's like close.
But yeah, no, just doing that. And so we're going to, once they actually figure out what they're going to do for their vocals, we're going to finish that up. And
that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
Very diverse holidays. I like it. Yeah. It's super fun.
Perspective.
Nice and cold out. It's nice to hunker down and work on a project together with
your
friends.
Don't you ever say nice and cold out in that order again, dude.
You know, it's got a
depends on your activities.
So half glass full thing, right? So that's a whole activity. But
I very strongly disagree with both of you right now. Anyway, this week we are going to talk about holiday give back, right?
Yeah. It's, I mean, 'tis the season of everyone doing something that has this, like, how do I give back or have this feel good moment. But I wanted to talk about with you about how do we make this last year round and how do we make sure companies are doing it right. So this will be a little bit of a fun strategic planning session with Drew and I on how to make sure that this isn't just a gimmick.
Right.
Because that's the thing, you know, we kind of talked about how generations are reacting to businesses. And we talked about that purpose is really important and having that social impact. But the biggest element of all of that is it has to be true to your company's core DNA. And if your holiday campaign about I'm giving XYZ away or doing this for our community is the only time you do that, it's, I hope you're doing it for the we're going to give this back moment, not because you want your consumers or your clients or your internal team to feel like that's a part of your DNA, because they will see through it in a heartbeat.
Straight up. And I feel three things here. One.
I just love that you have it. You're so good at like articulating like your storyline.
Really?
By the way. Yeah, I like that you do that. Anyway.
I always feel like it's very challenging to like, because it's loud and crazy in there. And I feel like Charlie Day trying to connect the dots in the mailroom.
God,
and
great reference.
Yeah, right? I appreciate that. It can be difficult to articulate the things. So one, I do feel like disingenuine or veneer experiences are very much identifiable as such, right? So when you see an organization or somebody doing a thing that is motivated by something outside of just genuinely wanting to impact a day or do a thing that is kind for either a human being or a cause or a community, people see through that, right?
Right.
And I remember being 10 years younger, starting my first company, and I was asking my dad, who's also been an entrepreneur his whole life, and I said, like, do I join the Chamber of Commerce? And in the context of that conversation, we were talking about ways to, you know, onboard new clients, identify new opportunities. And he sits there for a second, and he says, well, it depends. What's your motivation for joining? And I said, well, leads, right? And he says, well, if you join the chamber with the intention of only doing it to get leads, you're going to be very sad, right? You have to join the chamber because it means something to you, or you're willing to get involved without anything coming out of the other side. And if opportunities happen organically from it, bonus. I say all that to just basically button this up with motivation is everything. Okay. So that's number one. Number two is I feel like people also need to understand, at least in my opinion, that give back does not have to be this like huge grandiose gesture of, I wrote a check that was so big I had to actually print it out on this massive cardboard thing and make all this racket about giving money to a nonprofit, or man, we cleaned up this whole highway, or we got this family, mm-hmm. all of these, like all of those things are important and they're great and they're needed and they're good, but it doesn't have to be a Broadway production mm-hmm. every time. Give back, purpose, impact happen at every scale. And
right.
I very strongly believe that the little things in life are actually the ones that stick with you.
Right.
And they're the ones that end up meaning the most. So it's little things that you can tweak and implement and deploy every single day.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a part of that give back strategy. And then three, what has really helped me in the last 8 months as I've been looking at things differently and changing behaviors and really analyzing the ego of self is I start every single morning now with a meditation. And it doesn't have to be like this hour long, like sit down and light the Nag Champa and it's like, oh, it doesn't have to, it could literally just be a 5 minute like contemplation in the shower or whatever. And all I think about is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
What the shit am I grateful for right now in my life? And that brings heavy perspective to the day. And I start my day with that because it puts my mind down a path that is significantly different than when I don't do it. And so I feel like all of those three things are very important to point out because motivation is super, super clutch. Gratitude mm-hmm. is insanely important because that makes you realize why would I do things, right? If
right.
you know motivation is important, but then you have a mental experience that like helps you identify mm-hmm. a motivation. And then you also know that it doesn't have to be a thing that cleans out my bank account. It can be a 2 minute conversation that you have with Barb at Target.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
like rocks her world.
I mean, I think your example, I think you talked about it a handful of weeks ago about the Starbucks barista,
mm-hmm.
where you just like offered to buy her a coffee or what can I get you? Mm-hmm. And it like changed her entire like physical
mm-hmm.
expression that day.
Barb from Target is another real example I can share with you.
Yeah. Let's share Barb's story.
Forever, I would always text Shayla, my girlfriend, when I was at Target. And be like, oh God, the only line that's open is Barb. And Barb is a sweet gal at Target. She, you know, she's definitely more mature than I am in terms of like how long she has experienced life.
What a really great way to speak about a woman's age.
I appreciate that. And she's just, you know, she doesn't operate at the level of speed at which mm-hmm. I would.
Is she like the sloth from Zootopia?
Yes, there it is. Okay. I didn't know how long I had to carry on this like PC thing I was doing. She's super slow, right? And it's like, what? Here's four items. And then it's like,
eight minutes later,
you get to like run your card. And so I always would make jokes about it. But then we were having a conversation.
Because you had time.
Right. No, I was having a conversation with my girlfriend about it. And I was like, man. Like, and she always likes to talk about all the things, right? Barb does. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to try something. Because over the summer, when she was checking me out for a transaction, like she was telling me all the things that she always does. And she had mentioned how she was going to run in the Cornhusker State Games, right? And for some reason, I remembered that. And it was like 3 weeks ago. And I was like, I'm going to try this. And I went specifically and purposefully into her checkout line. It took like 11 minutes for it to be my turn because there was one person in front of me. And then after like she said what my total would be and as I was swiping my card, I just like said, I said, hey, Barb, did you ever run in the Cornhusker State Games? Holy shit. Her like everything changed. And then she continued to tell me everything about that, which was cool. But like watching her react that way,
aww.
Like that was months ago. And mm-hmm. she was like, you remembered that? And now when I go to Target, Barb like And I hope she doesn't get in trouble for this, but like she'll like leave her checkout lane and aww. Come over and say, "Hi, Andrew." Like goes,
"That's awesome."
It was a really cool moment, and it was really, really neat to see like something that small.
Acknowledging somebody.
Literally, like how many words is that? Did you ever run in the Cornhusker State Games? 9 words. It took me 4 seconds. And it had such a like positive effect on her life or on her moment right then and there. Like
and your life.
Yeah.
Right?
Right? And so it's like, it doesn't have to be this huge check that you cut.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a 9-word, 4-second experience that literally creates good.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of companies right now, a lot of the companies that I'm advising or having conversations with, a lot of them are wanting to get involved in purpose and making sure that it aligns to their brand, which I love this conversation mm-hmm. because so many do their purpose and then it goes into like a pretty document that a creative team builds for them and then it goes on the shelf and then it collects dust, mm-hmm. which is kind of heartbreaking. But I've been really invigorated by some recent conversations where people are like, how do I connect my brand and purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do I start to act against it? So we're identifying as a part of our research, like here are nonprofits that connect to your mission. Here are community groups your staff could get involved with and
give
helping
them resources.
Connect to their, truly connect with their community and to the things that are important and valued to them. And then helping them activate against that. And the thing I always preach to them is like, we are a while away, like if that's where we're at in the process, from making this an outward expression. Even here at FireSpring, we have our power of three, where mm-hmm. we give back our people, products, and profits to our community.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a part of our company now for years. And this year with our holiday or end of year campaign, actually, I didn't even want to call it a holiday campaign because it's not a campaign. It's our company and how we live
mm-hmm.
is we, so a little story backstory is, when Jay, our founder, when his mother passed away, he wanted to put some good in the world, like instead of, you know, take his grief and try and do something good.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't here at the time when this happened, so I'm hopefully not like bastardizing the story, but.
Well, he actually just told it to me the other day.
Oh, so perfect. Dustin can help.
Well, it was a little bit more than him just wanting to inject some good into the world, which he always wants to do. It was more, that's what his mother did. And he wanted to carry on her tradition.
Which is incredibly moving and honoring. And he gave every employee that day $20 mm-hmm. to go like create a moment. And it wasn't about like, oh, I want you to go and then go help a person less fortunate than you. And then let's like glorify that moment. Mm-hmm. Or it was just a very real thing that he wanted to do. And it literally resonated. So then we're about like 4 or 5 years later now, maybe.
That was 2011.
Oh, okay. So almost
nearly 10 years
later. The team, when we were thinking about how do we showcase our values, mm-hmm. like we think that would be a really cool thing. And to thank our clients for allowing us to have these values and mm-hmm. to demonstrate this power of three, because without them as our clients, we couldn't do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were building this, the team that has been here since that moment were like, wouldn't it be cool if it connected in with this moment that we had with Jay? It stuck with us. It's been in a part of our heart. Let's thank him for leaving that impact on us mm-hmm. with this type of a thing. So now we're having our team go out there, but this is our first time even really telling people
mm-hmm.
a little bit of the true behind the curtains of how FireSpring operates. And I think that's a really important thing because a lot of companies just connect and then go mm-hmm. and it's in marketing. And then people are like, but have you been doing this? How long is this a part of your mission or your company? And
yep.
you can't tell that story.
And
it's lost its meaning.
It's interesting to me that like, the folks that were here in 2011, they had that kind of connection. And that's not what's interesting to me. That's obvious.
That they're still here also. We talk about purpose and retention.
Yeah.
There's a great case
study.
Right,
straight up. But what I find interesting is like they had this experience and it was so impactful. They wanted to come full circle. But now there's, you know, the next era of FireSpringers, uh-huh. the three of us included, that did not have that experience. But like the coffee Starbucks barista story mm-hmm. that I shared, that's where my end of year campaign money went, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, now I've had that experience. And so like, what is the next iteration of this
yeah.
going to look like, right?
I think it's awesome. So as if you're a company or a manager of a team, and again, you don't have to be the CEO to make these decisions. Mm-hmm. You can decide to have, hey, team, we're going to do a team building outing and go do something together mm-hmm. that's going to be a positive impact versus just going to a bar and drinking. Mm-hmm. That's also fun, but do that after you do something meaningful.
Yeah.
And if you start to inject that true culture in, mm-hmm. then when you tell people about it or have it a part of your end of year campaign or your holiday campaign or whatever messaging you do, people are going to connect to it versus it seeming just part of the current atmosphere of marketing, it kind of in social impact. I worry about people's intent with it. And mm-hmm. so make sure your intent is clear and that you have the history to the cause to yeah. back you up.
So can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about how can you keep this spirit of giving or doing mm-hmm. good alive year round, so it's not just the obligatory, it's December, I got to mm-hmm. do some nice shit for someone.
To get my tax credit.
Yeah, for there's 2020. That too, right? So when you're having these sessions with these organizations, mm-hmm. and you had mentioned how it goes into this pretty dock and then it goes on the shelf, and more often than not, it collects dust. It takes 28 days to create a habit, right?
Correct.
Can't help but wonder if you're already outlining nonprofits and different missions and things within the local community or ecosystem that they could connect to or get behind that could help them with their vision, purpose, impact, all of the things. What if there was a 28-day roadmap of here are little things you can do each day that feed into this bigger system to help create habitual good?
Yeah,
in the world?
That's amazing idea.
I don't know.
That's a great idea. Yeah, and I think the more you can make it as a part of, like I think we talked about it an episode or two ago, this becomes a fixed cost, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever you connect yourself to as an organization mm-hmm. becomes a fixed cost. You can't just cut it when your budget gets tight. You have to mm-hmm. push through, persevere through, and make it a part of what you're about. Mm-hmm. And I think when you have that mentality going into it, it's much easier to keep those plans mm-hmm. and documents from collecting dust or from letting it get pushed to the back burner. Because that's always what, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. oh, I've got to do this other thing. I've got to do this other thing. And so now, like a conversation I have, just because I'm an incredibly blunt individual at times, is I'm like, if you're not going to act on this, don't even buy it.
Right.
It's just not worth, like, put your money elsewhere. Because,
yeah.
And if you're not going to do it the right way, don't buy it from us. Because for me, when I think about our values, I want to make sure that then someone can say, Firespring did this for me and it worked and it did well. Mm-hmm. But I also say that too, like companies I connect with that are just even asking about this. I'm like, you have to be ready to commit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. And I learned that lesson. I worked on a client a handful of years ago and they were wanting to define what theirs was before it was more of an active thing. Mm-hmm. And we were just like coming up with ideas. And then their CMO was actually ironically Panda Express. Mm-hmm. Their CMO, Andrea, who she's the founder's daughter, still family owned, she very much so was like, but is this true to who we are? And she just asked a very basic question. Mm-hmm. And we were like, no, some of these ideas aren't. So we went back to the drawing board and came up with something that they strategically could like implement in at 1,800 locations through their part-time employees, through the CEO, and everyone could get behind. They started to think about it like at that level. Mm-hmm. That was a turning point for me in making sure that I always think back to, can the part-time employee believe this? Mm-hmm. Because there's always the ones who are the most disconnected a lot of
sure.
times. And so by her asking that question, it kind of made me change from just, at the time, it was still very like, oh, we do this because it looks good, it feels good to the consumer, but mm-hmm. It creates a great like PR story. And she really, for me, changed it from being a PR story to like, your authentic
the
story
thing, right? So and Panda Express is operating at scale, and you know, it's
crazy.
I'm sure that there's people out there listening to this thinking like, yeah, I obviously want to do good, I want to do the things, but that sounds like a mountain. 1,800 locations rolling out a thing it simultaneously mm-hmm. that they all get behind, and it is a mountain. And so I think that it's also important to stress, while I don't have an example to relate to, that is important to stress that it doesn't have to be a mountain, right? Like it can be baby steps.
Yeah. Right? And I think that's where, you know, a lot of times when I work with small businesses, so it's a team outing, right? It's a quarterly activation with your team that starts to connect into that purpose. And as we've talked about, you don't define purpose in one setting.
Right.
You don't have it all worked out. It's something you continue to evolve against, and then you define where do our give back moments happen and what are the nonprofits we align to, and mm-hmm. you start to explore that as a team. So you can do that from that small size all the way up to enterprise. We have our friends from Physicians Thrive. I think they're a great example.
Yeah.
Where they were out there doing their passionate thing and they built it in, and I'm sure they'll do some promo and push around it potentially with this holiday season, but mm-hmm. that is a part of the core of their DNA of their company at this point. There's no turning back.
So let me ask you this then, because I love that it was, you know, that simple question that got the entire, you know, crew to think about, is this actually who we are, a part of our ethos, mm-hmm. all the things, very important. How do you make sure that after something like that is executed, that you're able to keep it top of mind? You're mm-hmm. able to know when it's time to revisit it, right? Because I also have qualms with, we're going to schedule when it makes time to revisit this, because that's like, I'm going to schedule a 2:30 to be creative today. No, you're not. Right?
Right.
Like, that's not a thing.
No.
And I feel like impact, purpose mm-hmm. are very much motivated by what's happening in the world and how you are a part of that and how you're reacting to it and what happens to you. So like, how does a company in your experience, Angie, know how and when to do the thing to make sure that all of this continues to be at the forefront?
It kind of goes, you've mentioned it before. Sometimes it's just, you know it in your gut, right? Mm-hmm. You just know what you need to do to move forward. But a lot of times it's a listening act, right? So it's, are you listening to your customers? Are you listening to your community? Are you listening to yourself mm-hmm. and to your business and your team members? And typically when you have this type of focus, there's usually a dialogue that's open. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people to create a system of communication with their team that they can push back, ask questions. Is this right? So usually with a lot of our partners and clients, it's their ground floor pushing back and being like, this doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Or I was in a meeting and this was said to me. And those are usually like the moments that you have to go back and check yourself mm-hmm. a little bit. But usually you catch yourself in that moment before you do something that feels icky mm-hmm. is you kind of, you realize like, oh man, this isn't who we are. Mm-hmm. Or if you start to stray, or if it starts to become too gimmicky in marketing, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But the other thing we do is we annualize a report and look back at what we did. Mm-hmm. And does that feel right? And did that look right? And did we all do our part and do the things we said we would do? Because we commit to, and we're audited mm-hmm. by B-Labs to continue out every 3 years, but we'll look at that and say like, is that upholding our FireSpring values to what we stand for? And so just inflection moments like that is when yeah. you really can catch it.
No, I think that's good context for everybody out there, right? Like I wanted to make sure that, and I know I don't want to speak for you, but I'm going to, and you tell me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But I know that like with the nature of this conversation, we wanted to make sure that there was not only like the feel good stuff, where we mm-hmm. talk about why this is important, but also like actionable strategy or things that people can do to like implement it.
Yeah.
But then also ways to like measure how and when you have to like look at what's happening and can you tweak? Should you tweak?
Yeah.
Kind of the soup biggest, to nuts scenario.
It very much so is just that. It's making sure that you have a plan. If with anything you do, whether mm-hmm. it's defining your purpose, what's our culture, how mm-hmm. is our team going to live out our values, all of those elements, this is no different conversation. Mm-hmm. And you should have a team dedicated to evaluating it. We have a team that evaluates who we give, like who does FireSpring sponsor give back to every month. They kind of help decide, does this fit within our stream of consciousness and mm-hmm. what we support? It's a constant conversation. It's probably one of the more topical conversations I have, mm-hmm. Partially because I'm the CMO, but also because it's a part of our values. And if team members think it's getting too outside of the lines of what we should be doing, they'll speak up because it represents them.
Yeah.
And so, but that's because they believe in what we're doing.
Right.
And so if your team isn't believing what you're doing, then it's going to miss the mark completely. And so, but you do have to start somewhere. And sometimes the holidays are great for that because a lot of people are raising their hands. This is when a lot of nonprofits get their funding. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way to quickly identify like what does your team get excited about participating with? What can you do? But then your moment is, how do you continue it through the year? Because it's always the summer that all the food pantries are empty, or and they're like, where did all those businesses go? They come back.
Right.
So be the company that comes back, because those people, like, you know, we always say it's, you know, there's always, we're doing it to do something nice, but then what is the positive or outcome of doing something? So if you're the company that comes back every quarter or every whatever, you're going to be remembered by those people. Those people are going to tell people about your company, and it kind of has that windfall for you. Very similar to circling back to, should I join the local commerce group? The Chamber of Commerce is, what is the motivation? So if your motivation is to do good and you're consistently doing the impact you want, that'll give you the dividends you need on the back end. And that story to this story is really no different.
Yeah. It's almost a one-to-one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So very cool.
So just Truth Bombs by Angie Kubicek.
And Andrew Tucson.
No.
Well, awesome. Well, have a good holiday.
You too.
Yeah.
I'll be out. Hope you enjoy all the holidays.
In the Cincinnati area, eating some Skyline chili for sure. My husband will try to get me to eat White Castles, which I just cannot do from some very traumatic childhood events.
Sure. But White Castle for Christmas, right?
Makes me gag a little, but yeah, it'll be awesome. So
good. Well, I enjoyed the conversation as always.
Me as well.
Everybody out there listening, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you join us next week. Yeah, subscribe, hit us up on social, leave us the reviews, all the things. Tune in next week, though, as we continue to jump down this rabbit hole. And until then, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Angie.
And we will catch you on the flip.